Welcome to Now on Netflix, your guide to what is coming out this week. I'm Jessica Shaw from SiriusXM. As always, sitting here with Henry Goldblatt, executive editor of todoom.com. And this week, we're talking baby, we're talking reindeer. What is it, Christmas, Henry?
It must be, Jessica. Please don't call me baby reindeer. After watching that show, I've learned it's not a term of endearment necessarily.
No, definitely not. And we'll be talking to todoom.com editor Chancellor Agard a little bit later about that show. But first, we've got some news to catch everyone up on, including The Abandons, a new series. What a cast. Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, Gillian Anderson from Sex Education and The Crown and The X-Files. Henry, tell us about this show.
Jessica, I'm pretty excited about this, and I'm not even a huge Western fan. It's created by Kurt Sutter, who's the brains behind Sons of Anarchy. And it's like, what happens if Cersei Lannister and Dana Scully were matriarchs of Western families in the 1850s and clashed? I'm totally there for that.
I am so here for this show. Yeah, it sounds kind of amazing. I think Kurt Sutter is such a genius. And I think he writes women in a really interesting way. I'm not a Wild West kind of gal. That's not necessarily what I gravitate towards. But when I see this cast and when I see Kurt Sutter behind the scenes, I don't know, I'm kind of intrigued. On the other hand, Dead Boy Detectives.
Dead Boy Detectives are coming. This comes from the mind of Neil Gaiman and Matt Wagner and takes place within the Sandman universe. And it's about two guys, Edwin and Charles, who are, quote unquote, the brains and brawn behind the Dead Boy Detective Agency. And the twist is they happen to be ghosts, but they're using their powers for good. Dead Boy Detectives comes to Netflix on April 25th. So you'll want to be sure to check that out.
Yeah, and the trailer is already up on todoom.com. How about Bodkin? We just saw Will Forte on Saturday Night Live up on stage with the Five Timers Club with Kristen Wiig and a ton of other people. What is this series about?
This is a wild series. Will Forte plays a true crime podcaster who goes to Ireland to uncover a decades-old mystery. And the thing I'll say about this is twofold. One, it's done by the Obama's production company, Higher Ground. And secondly, it's not your typical Will Forte comedy. If you are a fan of Last Man on Earth, which is one of my favorite shows from 7 or 8 years ago, this has a very different tone. It's darker. It's very Irish brooding. And we're going to be talking about it in a later show, so I don't want to give too much away.
Bodkin coming out May 9th. John Mulaney's back! Baby J, 6 episodes.
Yes, John Mulaney is going to be all over the Netflix is a Joke Festival, which takes place in LA in early May. He's hosting the 6-episode sketch series that will be streamed live on Netflix. And the installments debut May 3rd. And if you're a fan of his humor, you'll want to check this out.
So even if you're not at the Netflix is a Joke Fest, which is in Los Angeles, we can still watch this, right?
Yeah, you can find all the details of the festival at netflixisajokefest.com.
I love John Mulaney, so I can't wait to see who he brings out. As you said, those installments debut May 3rd. Further episodes streaming nightly from May 6th to May 10th. And they're going to kick off 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. East time. I'm so excited for this. Let's bring in Chancellor Agard, who is a todoom.com editor who's been covering Baby Reindeer. Chance, tell us about this series, which is based on the award-winning Edinburgh Festival Fringe 2019 one-man play that Richard Gadd wrote and performed.
Thank you for having me. This is probably one of the coolest, most interesting things I've watched on Netflix. Like you said, it's based off this one-man show that he did. It is a true story of this woman becoming very obsessed with him and making his life incredibly difficult for 3 years. And going through this forced him to confront some past trauma that he had been avoiding for many years.
Chance, you've described this one-man show as getting the Fleabag treatment. And you think stalker genre, and you think The Hand That Rocked the Cradle or Fatal Attraction, and this is not that. How does he infuse humor into the telling the story?
Part of it is he acknowledges his mistakes in handling this entire ordeal, because as Richard Gadd told our writer Christopher Hudspeth, he didn't want to tell a victim story. And as he's depicting everything that the character Martha did to him, leaving him thousands of voicemails, even that part, there's some humor in it, how the character Donnie reacts to it. Sometimes he flirts back, other times he makes a joke of some of these voicemails, and other times it takes him to a really really dark place. And in the show, Donnie, like Richard, is a struggling comedian. And so you do get to see his comedy act, which adds some humor to the show as well.
Chance, tell us about Jessica Gunning, who plays Martha, the woman who stalks Donnie, played by Richard Gadd. She blew me away.
She's truly fantastic. As Henry said, this isn't your typical stalker portrayal. And part of that is because of Jessica's portrayal of Martha. She doesn't come across as a villain. She is struggling just as much as the character of Donnie. Martha has her own issues, and the show really treats her like a human. It shows all the complexities that have driven her to this point.
It's a very egoless performance by Jessica Gunning as well. She lets herself be a mess and be hated and vilified, but at the same time, you feel some sympathy for her. What was your reaction in terms of watching her and watching the performance unfold?
It's very hard to watch. This show is 7 episodes. It's a very quick watch, but I found myself pausing every few minutes because there are times where it gets really uncomfortable. I think that's by design, especially the Martha stuff as well, where you can predict where this is going or what she's about to do, and you want to look away, but you can't because the show and, again, Jessica's performance is so compelling. And as soon as I pause it, I'd be like, nope, I got to keep going.
I completely agree. I was crawling out of my skin at times when I was watching it, and I wanted to hide underneath my pillow or something. But it's so wonderful. I'm curious if you asked Richard Gadd about what it was like taking this show and turning it into 7 separate episodes.
Richard wrote this piece for Netflix where he opened up about how when he was first going through this ordeal in real life, at some point he was like, oh, one day this could make a good story, a good play. And he was saying as he was getting ready to perform this one-man show, he was nervous because, to quote him, like a warts and all telling, where he doesn't come across as a villain or a bad guy. He's very open and honest about the mistakes that he made in handling this. And he said in writing this TV show, he felt that same fear when he was waiting for his one-man show to open at the Edinburgh Film Festival, where he was like, how the audience react to me? What will their critiques be? And I think after the one-man show, he was grateful that people received it the way he was hoping. They were like, at some point, I felt really bad for you. And at other points, I wanted to hit you. And then I went back to feeling bad for you. And then I went back to feeling bad for Martha. And other times, I was scared of Martha. He's feeling some of those feelings again as this show gets about to premiere on Netflix.
Everybody must be wondering, where does the title Baby Reindeer come from?
That we cannot say because it is a spoiler, I believe. But I do think the reveal is one of the sort of best moments of the show.
Oh, absolutely. Chance, what you were saying about people's reaction, as I was watching it, I thought the only way to make this show is with Richard Gadd playing Donnie Dunn, which is the version of himself. I'm so grateful that when this show got made, that there was no talk about recasting, because it just oozes, this is my personal story.
Yeah, and I think part of that too is like the narration, which I think really puts you into Richard's head. He told our writer, Christopher Hudspeth, that originally he wasn't planning on using so much narration, but then while he was writing one of the episodes that involved narration, some of the people working on the show were like, oh, this should become an integral part of the entire show itself. So he went back and rewrote some of the scripts to take viewers even further into Donnie's psyche.
Chance, tell us about the rest of the supporting cast, specifically Nava Mao, who plays Terry.
Nava Mao plays Terry, Donnie's girlfriend for much of the season. She's a trans woman that Donnie meets, and they start dating, and she's sort of along on this ride with Donnie for a lot of the season. And as I mentioned before, you know, Donnie's dealing with a lot of sort of issues himself that he's sort of struggling to unpack as he's dealing with Martha, and part of that comes into play with his relationship with Terry. But like Jessica Gunning, I think Nava Mao gives another sort of really tremendous and moving performance throughout this whole thing as well.
Chance and Henry, this show Baby Reindeer is out today, all of the episodes. Henry, I know we really are pacing ourselves because it is a lot. What do you think is the ideal way for people to watch this? There's no way to go all in and watch this in one sitting, not because of the time, it's just too intense.
I think 2 at a time sounds good, but again, it depends on who you are as a person. I watched the first 3 in a row, and then I came back the next night and watched 4, 5, 6, and 7 in pretty much one go. Despite how stressed I felt watching it, I couldn't stop. But I do advise people to take their time with it because it is a show with a lot to unpack, and I'm really looking forward to going back and rewatching it and picking up on things I missed. The writing and directing is so good. It's so detailed, and there's so many things to pick up on and dig into.
Jessica, I'm a one or two at a time person. And it's funny, I was talking to one of our other colleagues and he was like, oh yeah, you can watch this before bed, no problem. And then another one of my colleagues warned me, absolutely do not watch this before bed. And I'm so glad I didn't. The other tip I will give is I've been watching it with subtitles, and not because I'm one of those people who are like, oh, I'm an American, I can't understand what British people say. That's not it at all. I just find having the dialogue matching with what's going on has been helping fully understand and comprehend the whole thing. So that's my pro tip.
I like that. Baby Reindeer is out today. I think all three of us can't recommend this enough. Chance, what is your plan for covering Baby Reindeer on todoom.com?
Our writer, Christopher Hudspeth, wrote this amazing piece that's live now that digs into the whole season. And he spoke to pretty much everyone in the cast, including Richard Gadd, about telling the story. And it's a really rewarding read. So I hope everyone reads it.
I can't wait to read that. Baby Reindeer is out today. todoom.com editor, Chancellor Agar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Henry, there have been so many high-profile series coming out lately that I feel like we need a little bit of catch-up time on some hidden gems that we've discovered and that we've been watching that may not be brand new, but are near and dear to our own hearts. What have you been loving lately that we haven't talked about?
Jessica, I actually want to preview something that's coming April 22nd, and it was an interesting documentary that caught my eye. It's called Ahead of the Curve, and it's from 2020, so it's not new to Netflix, but it's about Franco Stevens, a woman who founded the first glossy lesbian magazine in the United States called Curve Magazine. And it goes through the journey of the founding of this magazine, but at the same time tells the tale of what it was like to be a part of the LGBTQ community in the late 80s and into the 90s. It is a 90s bonanza of lesbians that you love, including Melissa Etheridge and Leah Delaria. I've seen part of it. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it.
Oh, I'm so excited to watch that. My two recommendations, I almost am guessing that you watched them, or if you haven't, you definitely have to because you love the Great British Bake Off. And these are also competition shows. One is called Blown Away, which is about glassblowers. And I know that sounds like, why would I watch a show where people are competing with how they blow glass? It is riveting. This is not even a show that I watch while I do 18 other things, which is really how so many of us watch anything these days. I am so fascinated by the details of glass blowing. And then similarly, School of Chocolate, which is another food competition show, they make bonkers stuff out of chocolate. And the judge is this super particular French chef. And it's just so much fun to watch the creations out of chocolate. I can barely open a Hershey's Kiss, much less make some of these things. So I am in awe of all of these chefs and creators. Also out this week is a true crime documentary called What Jennifer Did that you're definitely going to want to watch. And the director Jenny Popplewell and co-producer Paul Wen will be on next week's episode of our sister podcast, You Can't Make This Up. Just to recap, Baby Reindeer is out now, as is What Jennifer Did, the true crime documentary. Next week, Henry and I are going to be previewing the new season of The Circle and Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. Henry, my own personal baby reindeer, but in a non-creepy way. Loved seeing you, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thank you.